Hello and welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, and tonight's edition is for Thursday, the 3rd of March, 2022. It's been one heck of a week. I'm beginning tonight with the moon at 29 degrees and 59 arc minutes of Pisces. The last arc minute of the last sign of the zodiac. It will change signs while I am making this recording. Welcome. And thank you for joining me. So for those of you who have been following the saga of Kate Rezhenko being forced out of her Kiev apartment where she usually processes her video and takes care of our mailing list and helps with customer service and all that stuff, and is a film student, she has had to basically abandon that office. She went out to the outskirts of Kiev earlier in the week with a friend of to meet up with a friend of her deceased father. She stayed there for about 5 or 6 days, maybe a little bit more, and then today made her way back into the beleaguered city center of Kiev, which is chaos under normal circumstances, but now in the middle of a war, it is quite scary. She boarded a train headed for a city called Lviv, which has been heavily pounded by Vladimir Putin. That train may not make it there, but she is on her way across the country and is planning to enter Poland, where she will seek status as a refugee. I have spoken personally with the Polish consulate in New York, and they assured me that she'll be welcome in Poland, as are all Ukrainian refugees, and we'll keep you updated on developments as they are available, and I'll have more to say on tomorrow night's edition of Planet Waves FM. We've done quite a bit of publishing this week at Planet Waves. I have just completed a four-part series on the Singularity Point series of events that included the quad conjunction to Pluto, which is still happening, the Pluto-Vesta-Venus-Mars conjunction, the conjunction in Aquarius, Mercury conjunct Saturn, and then the lots of times over conjunction in Pisces. And then today I sent out an article about Chiron in Aries called Eye of the Centaur. And so if you're on the mailing list, that should be in your inbox now, or will be there shortly. The longer list is still sending out. And while I've got your attention on all of this, a whole bunch of us have worked on this exemplary coverage this week, going above and beyond the call of duty. And even Kate was pretty much working up to the last minute before she left, left Kiev, attempting to get to Poland. We are a bunch of very hardworking people who provide this service, this vast diversity of services to you, and about 99% of people don't buy anything from us, and we're not going to make it very long if that's the case. And I'm not asking you just to give me money. We provide exemplary services, and you show up here and listen. I want to thank the people who are subscribers and or donors to Chiron Return, which supports our journalism. Many people are both. That is to say, many subscribers just also contribute to Chiron Return. And I would ask you to please consider subscribing. We give discounts if you cannot afford anything, afford much, and even a dollar a month really makes a difference. I know I say this in a time when there is very, very little good astrology on the internet. The dawn of the internet was something of a golden age of horoscopes. There were some extraordinary horoscopes out there, and some very exciting astrology webpages, and this has been basically winnowed down by the need for astrology to kind of cram itself into Twitter. I probably have somewhere between 500 and 1,000 astrology books just in my apartment and my office. Astrology does not lend itself well being crammed down into 140 characters. We have to study for many years to do this, and I've gone through therapy training and spiritual training and all of that to be able to confidently come to you pretty much every day and know that I'm unlikely to do any harm. And if I do, please tell me. Please write to me. In any event, we do appreciate your taking the time to send us a few dollars if and only if you love what we're doing and in any way depend upon us. Okay, let's go to the chart. The moon has entered Aries as of about 2 minutes ago. And that's that. And the sun is still in Pisces. We'll come back to that in a second. Let's go in order of the factors in these multiple conjunctions and just check the status of each one of them. Vesta, the slowest moving of the quick movers in the Capricorn alignment, is working its way toward a conjunction to Pluto. That'll happen over the weekend. I'm not sure exactly what day. At the moment, Venus and Mars are in a conjunction. They're separated by about 15 arc minutes. Mars is still ahead. Mars, the slower moving of the two, Venus and Mars, is still moving quicker than Venus. Venus, of course, is coming out of a recent retrograde that took place in Capricorn, ended January 29th, but it takes a while for an inner planet like Venus to come back up to speed. The two of these are going to proceed in a 1 degree conjunction, which is exact, if I recall, on March 6th. Hold on, let me check my events thing here. Venus conjunct Mars will take place. Got that right. 2:12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. By then, it'll be 3:12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on March 6, 2022. So overnight of March 5th through 6th. This conjunction happens in Aquarius. So this is an interesting thing that Venus and Mars have been traveling in an exact conjunction for weeks. And by exact, I mean within 1 degree. But there comes that moment where they actually align in the same degree and minute, and that is March 6th, 3:12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and it takes place in the first degree of Aquarius. This is really interesting for one reason, besides the fact that it was like a long conjunction of Venus and Mars in Capricorn, which end up making a triple conjunction to Pluto plus add Vesta. But then the conjunction is perfected, as is sometimes said, when Venus and Mars are both in Aquarius. And not only are they in Aquarius, they are in the first degree of Aquarius. And what happened in the first degree of Aquarius was something else that is arguably much more momentous was that the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that took place on the winter solstice of 2020, culminating this absolutely insane year, 2020, remember that? Remember that, all that, Wuhan, the Wuhan flu and all that stuff? Well, that is all kicked off when Saturn forms a conjunction to Pluto and Aquarius, sorry, Capricorn. Then Jupiter comes along, enters Capricorn, and then Jupiter and Saturn kind of track each other all through 2020, sorry, it's late, I'm tired. They track each other all through 2020, the year of another good few conjunctions, but they form their exact conjunction in the first degree of Aquarius, right where the Venus-Mars conjunction takes place on March 6th. So there's something about this degree that seems to be attracting very unusual and rare conjunctions. And this, though Venus and Mars are conjunct every couple of years, this qualifies as an unusual one owing to all of this singularity point astrology that I have been describing. So that's the update about what has been happening, and in Cap, and it is pretty much official that Venus and Mars are now void of course or anaretic. So they are in they will not be making any more aspects to other planets before they enter Aquarius. So when that happens, usually when planets are in the last 1, 2, or 3 degrees of their sign, they are called anaretic or void of course. And this is an unusual position for planets to be in, as if the transformational power of Pluto, which they've just contacted, was not enough. The anaretic degrees of any sign contain a transformative power, a death and rebirth kind of power. I not hearing much from people. I've been kind of preoccupied, if you haven't been able to tell, to be speaking to people too much about their most intimate private lives. But I wonder what's going on with people personally in their intersexual development and transformation with Venus and Mars doing all of this really intriguing stuff in alignment with Pluto and with Vesta. Vesta has a lot of different things she might represent, but she always tends the sacred flame, the core creative flame. Now, there's a dark and potentially frightening aspect of this quad alignment, in particular with Venus and Mars going void, of course. And this was sent to me by Dale O'Brien, an astrologer much more seasoned than I am. One of the Chiron pioneers, lives in a yurt out in Oregon, pays attention. And he said, well, we've got the god of war, Mars, and Venus as the morning star. She's the god of war, aligned with Pluto, the one of the lords of death, combined with Vesta, who is herself associated with sacrifices, all taking place in Capricorn, the sign of Saturn. That's a little grim reaperish. What do you get? You get Putin invading Ukraine. It looks like a big death inferno. Now, if you haven't been listening to StarCast editions, you know that I've been taking this from a more personal and not so much collective point of view. No, obviously fully aware that all kinds of collective shit is flying right now, and that the situation with Russia is much, much bigger than Russia. However, that was Dale O'Brien's take, and I think it's creative. I think if you take a literal view, Mars, god of war, Venus as the morning star after the heliacal rise, that is to say, just after a retrograde, Venus as the morning star to all kinds of people, the Sumerians and the Mayans and all that, was considered a portent of war. So this whole thing in Capricorn, also the sign of governments, not just the Grim Reaper, but they do have a lot in common, is describing this really, really nasty situation going on in Ukraine. And speaking as a Quaker, I don't give a shit about why it's being done or who claims what reason for being done. Bombing civilians is wrong, plain and simple. Nobody's being liberated by this thing. I have reports from on the ground through much of Kiev, because Kate is connected to people all over Ukraine. These are attacks on and invasions of civilian populations. Okay, onward into Aquarius. So I finally decided what I thought the conjunction of Mercury and Saturn in Aquarius was about, and wrote an essay about it that I've been brewing for a long time, contemplating as part of my media studies thread, which is that when we say science, what we really mean is technology. That essay may be in your inbox, or it is linked from the brand new horoscope in the My Account area, accessible to subscribers. Anyway, so that was that, and I thought that through as best I could. There's a big difference between science and technology. Science is the honest inquiry of the truth. Technology is, we're going to make this thing and either sell it to you or use it against you. Those are pretty much your choices with technology. Not exactly a happy thought, but that's pretty much what it is. And everyone ran out and bought an iPhone, and now guess what? They are tracking and tracing and stalking us with the damn things. And it's not just about your pizza preferences. Okay, let's move into Pisces, where there's still quite a bit going on. Now Pisces becomes the focus of the sky right now. This is because the sun is about to form a conjunction to Nessus. Jupiter is still in that conjunction, so the sun is creeping up. That conjunction will take place at about late afternoon or early evening Eastern time on Friday. Jupiter will still be in the mix. So Jupiter is, barely half a degree away from Nessus. And so we're going to get another triple conjunction, that's to say Sun, Nessus, Jupiter in a conjunction. Deep stuff going on there. To me, this is about the revelation of the truth in the times that we're living in. And in my commentary, I think it was yesterday, I described this relatively new sketch from Saturday Night Live with a bunch of people. Some of their very best cast members were put into this thing of, I guess it was six or eight people having dinner in their favorite restaurant with their favorite people. And the whole thing is making fun of all the reasons you cannot have an honest conversation about COVID mandates because you're going to lose all your friends. And oopsie daisy, it is now publicly known and published in the mainstream state media, such as Bloomberg News, that masks didn't help anything. State of New York knew that. I have a letter from them saying that they have no studies on safety or efficacy of masks from 2020. So Bloomberg News is about a year and a half behind the news. Anyway, what else is new? So this is all the kind of stuff I had predicted, and you'll notice I don't make very many open predictions in my work because I think that astrology should be more about visioning than predicting. But this was a combination of a vision and a prediction where I said, well, when Jupiter makes a conjunction to Nessus, we will see all of that dark, nasty stuff that is usually concealed by Nessus, which is itself foggy, kind of 12th house-ish Neptune-y, and Pisces, which is itself kind of foggy, 12th house-ish Neptune-y, all subject to denial. And then all comes along, big, fat, and happy Jupiter in Pisces makes a conjunction to Nessus and blows the whole thing up so wide there's absolutely no missing it whatsoever, unless you really are committed to not understanding. And some people are. I trust that you are not one of them. Okay, over the weekend, well, coming Friday anyway, and into much of the weekend, the moon will be moving through Aries. The astrology program I use doesn't tell me what day of the week the chart is set for. They were about to fix that when they said, sorry, we're going to pack it in. It's been a nice 30 years. So the moon is now in the first degree of Aries. It's late Thursday, so it'll be in Aries all day Friday and much of the day Saturday. Let's get an exact fix on when the moon enters Taurus so that I know what the heck I'm talking about. Ah, that's going to be March 6th, a Sunday, at about 2:12 a.m. So the moon changes signs from Aries to Taurus overnight, March 5th through 6th, or if you're in points east of New York, early in the morning, like 6 or 7 in the morning on the 6th. Okay, so we'll get there early next week. I'll probably chime back in on Monday or something. Let's cover the moon in Aries and call it a night. So the moon is going to make a bunch of conjunctions in Aries. It's going to form a conjunction to Chiron straight away. It's going to form a conjunction to Pallas Athene right a bit before that. The Pallas Athene-Chiron conjunction, I started writing about that in tonight's essay about Chiron and Aries and getting into the political wound and the naivete of the Americans about politics. And they think of politics as kind of like a parlor game or as kind of a pastime or a hobby or something like this. Well, that's because Pallas Athene is very prominent in the United States chart, conjunct the moon in Aquarius. Right now, at the time of all this kind of sparking up of the United States chart, the 1776 chart, Pallas and Chiron are forming a conjunction in Aries. That'll be, you know, brewing for quite a few more days, maybe a week or two more. What that is saying is we need to really understand the way that we use politics, the way that we hurl ourselves into identity politics. There's a perfect example of Pallas Athene in Aries conjunct Chiron in Aries. And in fact, I'm going to write that down, and I will give a rant suitable for this conjunction. Identity politics. Pallas conjunct Chiron on tomorrow night's Planet Waves FM. It's the perfect time to do that. So then the moon will keep going. It'll make a conjunction to Eris Aries moon is a lively, optimistic moon. The conjunction to Chiron can be, it potentially can feel sorry for itself. It can be incredibly charismatic. It can be both. It can be all kinds of charming on Saturday night and then have a vulnerability hangover on Sunday morning. So if you have a vulnerability hangover, the chances are you didn't make a fool out of yourself. You were just being real, and the ego doesn't like that. The ego wants you to be a bullshit artist. So the best way to transcend the satanic and dark, negative, fearful power of the ego is to simply be real and let this weird entity called the ego whine all at once. That's what I have to say to you tonight. Once again, please, if you ever felt like, I really want to subscribe to this and see what they're doing, or just help these people out. They seem to be sincere. They keep showing up. Got to give us some credit. And perhaps me. I managed to hold a team together on nearly no budget. And I've got people working very long hours, doing very good work. And if we really actually pay them the money they deserve, it would triple the cost of the Planet Waves annual budget. So thankfully, they and I are willing to work for what I guess the public will bear. But if you find somebody doing better astrology, please write to me. I'm interested. Don't forget, Planet Waves FM goes up at about 10 o'clock on Friday, almost all Fridays at 10 o'clock. There'll be all kinds of fun stuff in there. My birthday is coming up. In case you are interested, Tantra Studio will be my interpretive reading of several of the juicier Book of Blues stories. So that ought to be fun, something I've never done before. I, too, will wake up on Saturday with a vulnerability hangover, but I'll like it. Okay, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Prayers to Kate Rzenko, who, at the time of this recording, is making her way across Poland in a very crowded train of people, many of whom are trying to get out while they can. Be grateful if you have a dry roof over your head and food in the fridge. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.